We're in a little series called Rough and Real. Pull me down just a little bit more because this is the kind of message I know I'm going to scream on. I can already know it. It's going to happen. Just pull me down. Be careful up there, Dick. Here we go. Series called Rough and Real. Say that with me. Rough and Real. The book of James is rough and real. Fellas, especially, this is a book. Man, you need to read it. You need to get it down. All of us can use it. It's incredible. Some hard-hitting stuff that hits us right where we live. And without repeating the whole thing, the book was written by the half-brother of Jesus, James. He was the pastor at the church of Jerusalem. You can only imagine how tough it was. They just crucified Jesus, my goodness. A little bit of time after that, the church is being established. It's in ground zero. You know, this is at the hot spot, Afghanistan, like. You know what I'm saying? You're right there on the front lines. People are being killed for their faith. Families disowning other family members because they're following this new person. Jesus, have you lost your mind? He's not the Messiah. Are you crazy? Horrible situation. And James could either pat them on the head, hi, y'all, come on. Or he could say, I love you, but this is life. This is the life that you now live. And you can make it. Got it? I wish it'd go away. It ain't going away. And you still have Jesus. So he starts off this little book by saying, count it all joy. The word means to leap. When you fall into temptation, that word is persecutions, testings, trials of your faith. He said, leap. Because you have Jesus. And you're going to live forever. And the loved ones that their lives have been taken, you'll see them again. You have the Holy Spirit, the living God. He's not going to leave you. Hang in there. Be strong. Got it? Say it. This is talk from a man. Rough talk. Tough talk. And you think he would just pick some different kind of subjects to talk about. It's five chapters in this little book. And, buddy, he covers a lot of stuff. Last week, we talked about prejudice. Y'all remember that last week? Yes or no? Crazy, wasn't it? Yeah. Here's one today he talked about. Now, I think you can understand this one, but under the circumstances, it's sort of weird to me. Let's look at it. Real faith means, say it with me, taming the... Come on, one more time. Real faith means what? Taming the tongue. Can you believe it? You know when trouble comes. People run their mouth. Is that right? Yes or no? And really, when trouble comes, that's when everybody ought to be together. Is that right? Yes or no? Sure it is. That's when you ought to be speaking the same thing. But here's a church where people are being persecuted, killed, maligned for their faith in Christ. And he's actually having to address people running their mouth about other people in the congregation. Isn't that crazy? That's a big deal. Can you imagine how we run our mouth so often and we've got it made? Amen? I mean, really, at least when they were running their mouth, they were under intense pressure and horrible situation they were going through. But James said, I'm not even going to cut you slack then. Okay? And sometimes the tongue is not just always putting somebody down. Sometimes with the tongue, you can take people down with you. You can just by your tongue and by your talk and the way you are and your attitude and you know, and I mean, and we'll give you a pass sometimes when you're hurting real bad. Trust me, I know. But on the other hand, we still have a responsibility with our tongue to lift, to encourage, to bless, or at least not let it say stuff that's going to pull everybody down. Y'all listening? Yes or no? All right, here we go. Let's talk about it. Nothing speaks more loudly about our faith than do our, say it with me, words. Well, I believe in Jesus. I'm all this. Well, let me just hear what comes out of your mouth. And then I'll make my judgment on you. Amen? Nothing speaks more loudly than our words. When we say that we love God, but out of the same mouth we show forth hate to our brother. Say it with me. The love of God we say we have is not in... You can say what you want. You got hate coming out of your mouth towards other people. I love Jesus. No, you don't. You are a liar. Preacher's ugly this morning. I told you. What we say with our mouth and tongue is a what? It's a big deal to God.
fruit.
What can we do for God anyway? Come on, other than, you know, the Bible says out of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. It's a real evidence of who we are when we say certain things. It's the evidence of what we really are, way down deep inside our hearts, the place where real faith abides. Okay, so we're going to talk about it. Don't get mad at me if you want to, it's fine, but I mean, it's James talking. Amen? Let's look at chapter 3. We've already been through chapters 1 and 2. Now we're checking into chapter 3. My brethren, interesting thing he says here, be not many, say that word with me, masters. The word is teachers. You could also insert the word pastor. My brethren, be not many masters or teachers or like master teacher or a pastor. Knowing that we shall receive the what? Who do you think a fellowship church is going to get judged more by God or words than me? Who runs his mouth around here all the time? Me. Yeah. So I'm in this with you. Matter of fact, James says, you're really on a hot seat, boy. Amen? Let's make some points out of what we're going to look at today in James chapter. Number one, don't desire position so you can just talk. Say that with me. Don't desire position so you can just... One more time. Don't desire position so you can just what? One more time. Don't desire position so you can just... A lot of people want to be involved in church work and do stuff at the church so they can get together and talk. Or they want to teach. I've had people come to me, and I always duck when they do. Well, I'm a reverend. I was ordained over here. Amen. I was a deacon here. That's all right if you were all those things, but if that's the first thing out of your mouth to impress me, I'm not impressed. My experience has shown me when people tell me their credentials before they even get to know me hardly, that they're a little stuck on themselves. Y'all hearing me this morning? I know that's ugly. This is just years of experience. I'm just telling you what I think. Amen? Some people just love to hear themselves talk. James says talk is really important. It's not something we should desire a position so that we can get to talk, because one day you're going to be judged for every word you said. So if you got a position where you talk a lot, you're going to be judged more than everybody else. Remember that. Does that make any sense to anybody in the house? Those who are in a teaching position, whose words are used to convey thought and understanding, will receive the greater condemnation. That's what he's saying. Keep looking. The more you speak, the greater chance. Say it with me. You'll say what? How many have ever heard me say something wrong? Go ahead, raise your hand. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's going to happen. Keep looking. It's a very serious warning to me as a pastor, but it's great advice to all of us. Words matter. Okay, you're not going to sleep on me, are you? Okay, let's go to point number two. Let's just move into Scripture along. In the second service, in case you're here today and don't know it, I preach a different message totally, even a little bit different style. And so different message today, talking about making pain my gain today. That's coming in the next hour. But right now we're just walking through the book of James. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Doesn't mean you're without sin, it means mature. If you can speak and not offend people, you show that you're a mature believer in Jesus Christ. And you're able to bridle your whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole big old body with that little thing in their mouth. Behold also ships, which though they're big and great, they're driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Amen. What's James saying? Second thing we see in our message this morning. Pop it up. Here we go. Say that with me. The tongue is the steering wheel for your relationships with others. One more time. The tongue is the steering wheel for your relationships with others. That's what James is saying. Let's unpack it. You are not to offend sin with your words. When we talk to one another, whether it's our family, specifically, James is writing to believers in the church. We are not to offend one another. Now, what if somebody's just thin-skinned all the time and super sensitive? Well, I mean, you got people like that, and God help, they're always offended. I can't help them, okay? But we don't need to make it a practice of offending people with our words and being offensive. You understand? And I think in Inglewood, Florida, we can see it every day. And I hate to say it, when people get older, it seems like they get a little more offensive with their words. And I know from health, from agitation, from nerves, from being alone, from crisis, from old age, whatever, things can happen. But there's still no excuse for it. Y'all listening, yes or no? I was at a restaurant the other day. And a lady said, the worst people that come into the restaurant, hands down, are people on Sunday after church. I've heard that so many times, it's incredible. Well, they know me pretty good. If they even hear you say fellowship, they're going to tell me. I'm going to chew you out. I will. Horrible. What a disgrace. We love Jesus. And we could say bad words. I'm trying not to offend you. We moan at the waitresses. That's horrible. Is that right? Yes or no, Pastor? Yes, Pastor. Shouldn't we be the folks that send some light into our community? Amen? Yes or no? Come on. Don't offend with your words. The tongue is a steering wheel for relationships. It's amazing. Even the little brief time that we have to talk with somebody, it could be somebody at the counter, it could be somebody at a restaurant, it's amazing, our neighborhood, whatever. It's amazing how that tongue can just steer a relationship in the right direction. Amen? There's a kind of maturity of speech which acts as a catalyst for growth and maturity in everything you do. The tongue. The tongue. I got here this morning and I was depressed. One of my worst days I've had. And I got in the truck to pray. And they could see it on me. And I just tried to tell them where I was at. I pray every Sunday before I ever come in here for about 30, 45 minutes. And I prayed. I always lead out. It's hard to lead out in prayer when you're depressed. But I led out in prayer. But did you know, and then the next man prayed, and he cried with me. And then the next man prayed. And these are words, 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 words. And I could hear their words. 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 And you know, when I got out of the truck, I was better. Words. It's incredible, isn't it? Words. And I have not arrived. I need to do better with my words. That's what James says. He says, guys, you're hurting. This one's lost his home. This one lost his dad. And you're bickering. What's wrong with you? You need each other. Amen? It's a great message. I think he's hitting right on. I think he's saying the right thing. Psalm 32. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto you. Some other verses. Keep going. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Amen? God would say, there's a better way. Amen? See, that bad word was in there, and I didn't say it. It was in a Bible. Here we go. A small bit in a horse's mouth can control and direct that very large animal. We've already said that. Look at that big old animal. He's controlled by that little bit. A small rudder controls the direction of a huge ship. And God's saying that little thing in your mouth, la, 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 amen, can control your whole body and your relationship with other people. It's incredible. Yeah. The tongue, though small, compared to your head. I mean, think about it, your tongue compared to your big head. Excuse me. Your arm. Put your arm. Your leg. Your belly. Come on. Plays a controlling factor in your life. That little rascal right there. The smallest thing does the most good or the most damage, right? I'm not telling you something you don't know. But how you use it, what you say, will have more to do with directing your relationships with others, your successes and pitfalls in life, more than anything else you do. Well, I want to look good. Well, look good. I'll be on time. Be on time. But more than anything, what you say whether it's an interview you're having, whether it's an office you work in, whether it's a family you're a part of, whatever, it's church, the tongue is going to have more to do than any of these other things that we think are so important. Amen? Come on, I know I'm just preaching. This is boring. This is important. Amen? Look at number three, and I got to fly. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth what? Great things. Behold, how great a matter, help me, a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, say it with me, and is set on fire of hell. Boy, James is some preaching fellow, won't he say? He was smoking. Love this guy. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. We can even make Shamu jump them. Crazy. But the tongue can no man what? It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Wow. What's the point, James? Say it with me. Words can... One more time. Words can kill. Can we just do a little testimony here this morning? How many in this room, somebody's words have killed you? And let's do it again. How many in this room, you've used words to help kill somebody? That's what I'm saying. We're not immune. We're on both sides of this fence, baby. James is trying to help us. You know? One thing I pray for at Fellowship, and one thing I really try and passionate about, is that when people come here, they get encouraged. They get hugged. They get loved. Had an insurance man that came second service last week and his family. They go to another church. They just came and sat up front just to support me so I could see them. And there they were, right there, last week, second service. He was blown away at your love. Blown away at your love. He said, I couldn't believe. We get out of the car. There's somebody there. Then there's somebody over here. He said, they seem so sincere. It seems like they're just happy. They're all... He said, I couldn't believe it. So he had a board meeting the other night at his church because he's a director. And he let them have it. Amen. Yeah, come on. Good. That's important for us here. Amen. So if you're a pain in the rear end, you're mean as a snake, ill as a hornet, these are little Satan sayings I have. Let me tell you something. You need to change. And you can change through the power of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to always be perfect. We understand that. But you need to change. And it's going to be a healthy change for you. When you encourage one another, when you love on one another, when you catch yourself and you bite your tongue instead of saying, I'll say that. Amen? The tongue is little, but it's what? It's dangerous, man. We know this stuff, but we need to hear it again. It is fire. It'll burn down a church. It'll burn down a marriage. It'll burn down families. It'll burn down friendships. How many had something, one of those four on that board happen? You've seen it happen before. The tongue. It's incredible. 2,000 years ago, James is writing this. Though little, the tongue will destroy the whole body. You can be fit as a fiddle, man. But if your tongue's all screwed up, I don't care what kind of shape you're in, you're messed up. You're messed up. Yeah, but I'm all this. I'm jacked. Yeah, you jacked all right. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. An ungodly man digs up evil. His lips, there's a burning fire. That's an ungodly man. Satan wants you to use your tongue to burn people up. That's what he wants you to do. We're just walking. The Holy Spirit wants you to grow in grace. He wants you to use your tongue to encourage and to bless one another. What am I on this planet for? You're on this planet to bless people. God wants you to be your best. He wants you to bless. He wants you to encourage. He wants you to say words that are helpful to people when you speak. And he wants you to touch people. B-E-S-T. He wants you to reach out and touch people. He wants you to be your best. Bless, encourage. He wants you to speak up to people, not down to people. He wants you to reach out and put an arm around somebody. touch people. That's God's best. He wants us to be our very best. He wants us to build people up, not tear people down. That's God's plan. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. The tongue will kill. Keep looking. Words can kill, they burn, they cut. Say it with me, they what? Poison. Does it sound like who? But I'm a Christian. No, you're just an I-A-N. Christ ain't in you. Amen? You a Ian. Where'd Christ go? Think about that sometime. When your mouth starts doing that, just say, I ain't a Christian. I know what I am. I'm I-A-N. I ain't nothing. How about that? I-A-N. I ain't nothing. When I let my words do that, I'm not a Christian. I'm I-A-N. I ain't nothing. Amen? Come on. See, I preached myself up here. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Bless you, God. Curse you, brother. How the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, say it with me. These things ought not so to be. Stop it. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? No. Can a vine figs? No, you can't be doing all this stuff. Are you crazy? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It doesn't happen. But somehow in our mind, we think we can be a Christian and do this kind of mess, and we can't. When we're an I-A-N, we're nothing like Christ. That's what James is saying. The fourth point, the hypocrisy of the tongue. We bless God and we curse men out of the same mouth. It's being a hypocrite. People hate it. The world hates it. They don't like it. They don't come to Christ many times because of what we say. The poor waitress at the restaurant will have a hard time coming to church if this is the way the Christian people are that she sees on Sunday afternoon. Is that correct? Sure it is. Man is made in the likeness and the image of God. That's what Genesis 1 says. It says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And yet we'll curse man who's made after the image of God. God created man in his own image. Water cannot be bitter and sweet at the same time. I'm running out of time. We're flying. Do the math. Neither can a Christian that's truly controlled by the Spirit. When we're controlled by the Spirit, yet our tongue's out of control, we know something ain't right. The last point this morning, 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? Don't you want to be a wise man? I do. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, don't you glory about such a thing and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual. Say that last word with me. It's what? Don't we sometimes say things, and sometimes we can couch it sometimes in our mind and think that we were spiritual and we were saying the right thing. James says, don't even fool yourself. It's devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. And this was going on in that church, obviously. People had, people didn't have, people are putting others up because they don't have, and somebody else is having to sit over here because they don't have any. It was just a mess. And they were all being persecuted already, and they were turning on one another. It was a horrible situation. They needed to be strong. But the wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. These are good words. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Last point, and Rod, you just pop it for me. I know, buddy. Here we go. The real wisdom of the tongue. Let's look at it. A wise man. Good conversation, good words. A wise man's words are what? Meekness. The word meekness comes from the picture of a giant horse who's brought under control by that little thing in his mouth. That should be the picture of you. The thing that can bring you under control really is getting a handle on that tongue and bringing that into submission in your life. And you'd be surprised. Out of that's going to flow a much better life. You understand? Keep looking. Foolish man. He thinks he's wise. Speaks his mind. Runs his mouth. There's bitterness. There's envy. There's strife. He uses his words to do those kinds of things. The words that the foolish man speaks is devilish. It's not of God at all. Real faith means taming the tongue. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their passion, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. God says that's not his will for our life. That's not what he's called us to. You can say anything with the tongue. Words are cheap. What you say smells of envy, strife, and confusion. Say it with me. Then it is evil. It is, help me, devilish. And I think I've got a picture of some words. Do we have that list? Satan's very name means liar and slanderer. He's the diabolical one. He wants to use our words and us to use words to kill, to destroy people, to steal. That's what he wants. But we want to be a wise man. Say, I want to be a wise man. I want to be a wise man. That's what I want to be. Then use real godly wisdom in your words. That's what James is saying. Your words should be this. Say it with me. One at a time. Hang on. Here we go. Say one at a time with me. Our words should be, say it with me, pure, peaceable, gentle, approachable. Stop at that one. Words should not make people run from us. Words should be used to cause people to be entreated to us. You understand? Keep going. Compassionate, productive, unbiased. Big one on the last one. Sin. Does that mean if you don't like somebody, you give them a piece of your mind, you tell them what you really think, because that's really what you think? No, that means you need to stop that. You need to change. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Let's thank Him for His Word this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You're good to us.